interrupting the current neo-Euchronial, climate-changed, behaviorally controlled, energy-starved, alien-invaded, nuclear-glowing, postulated cricketism to bring you behind the woodshed. This is Cricketude Busting Episode BTWRLM 542. And remember, being free is not a spectator sport, so get you behind the woodshed, bringing those miscreants behind there and teaching them. These are the officials. This is anybody, actually, that has a authorita, and they don't realize they don't have the authority. More importantly, first, the jurisdiction to even talk with you, the trespass against you. You must assert that, or else you don't get it. You only get the rights you gave at that point. So silence anywhere is not an option, and that's just international law. You just get aggressed against, and if you keep let someone do that, they will continue. And you watch. It's been a pretty neat thing over the last few years. I've been trying to guide people to see and watch how, well, the, like I said, the sovereigns, the nations that are stepping up to protect themselves after all this time, finally saying we've had enough against the United States abusers. And somehow at this point, the United States abusers think that they really. I think Comey's phone really gave him an advantage because no one talked out against it, and they didn't put everybody in their place about what their duty is underneath their oath. So we're seeing some pretty outlandish things coming through and coming on. You know, I think it's kind of neat to see, except it's causing a bunch of strife in the world, and people are dying over it. People are being maimed. People are being sickened, and they're going to continue to be sickened. This is certainly, let's say, Kobe swindle. You're not going to step back beside this and do nothing. And part of that is because the question that comes on, and all these illnesses that we hear, and I'm not going to stay too much on this one, but the illnesses we hear are interesting in that people who didn't get the vax or any of that are having effects that they've never seen in their lives. Now, some of that's just attributed to you've never seen that in your life, but there's a lot of things that are pretty anomalous. And there was that question about shedding. Not the virus. There is no the virus. It was the package that they put together, the phospholipid package that had the protein strings in it that also had adjuvants, chemical adjuvants, that provided the impetus for those chemistries, the body to receive the chemistries and actually start working with them, to produce them. They're self-replicating, if you will, in a chemical sense. And so they've dumped something on us, a bioweapon on this society that I don't know the extent of it, and we should be very careful about that. And this is the problem of the consequences, whether they're intended or unintended. They certainly are a consequence that we have to can potentially deal with. And the more that we be quiet, the more emboldened the insanity gets. And last week after the broadcast, something came up. It would just shake your head. How do these people think that they can get away with it? But here they are. They're trying to get away with it. They're attempting, the power of persuasion, the seed drop, plant the seed. You realize the Constitution's not unamendable, and they can take away your Second Amendment. I don't think they'll be doing it quite too soon, but the seeds are being planted. You don't need one, and all they have to do is get everybody in the majority in Congress to do take away an amendment. So don't think, as I've been saying, don't think that you're sitting pretty with all these rights. It may cause a trouble, but that doesn't mean that they won't try it. Like we heard this last week, again, shaking my head, I don't understand. New Mexico governor shocks with comment about Constitution after issuing temporary gun ban. Not absolute. Your gun rights are not absolute. And I know everyone's going to listen to me. Who listens to me likely would say that she's nuts, and we would say that, but she tried it. She's that nuts. How soon can this person be removed from office, asks Elon Musk in this article. And I don't know why this guy keeps getting press, but he's getting a lot of press, this Elon Musk. Again, to me, this is all just more the propaganda. This is all the promoters being promoted. And we can continue to buy into it or understand what's going on and really start looking for the alternatives. But New Mexico Governor Michelle Lujan Grisham's controversial comments in defense of a temporary gun ban prompted a fierce backlash on social media. The Democrat issued an emergency public order. Listen very carefully, folks. I told you, if you were quiet on this health stuff, they're going to use those health prerogatives in order to beat you down some more. And here it is. It issued an emergency public health order on Friday, suspending the right to carry guns in public across Albuquerque and the surrounding Bernalillo County for at least 30 days following the shooting deaths of three children in the area. Now, I'm not going to read more. You can read it. Some of you may have already read through it. The point is, I'm trying to show you what these lunatics do when they get in office. If they don't have a scruple left about what their oath really is supposed to do, there's no limitation. The police power is enough to give them everything they need, and they come along and they just start trashing the place. Now, I wanted to take the opportunity, but you saw this, they declared it was an emergency public health order. My view has been, take, as I said, this is across subject matters, just take what they do and see if you can frame it up in order to make sense of it, to destroy it, essentially, to show them that they don't, they still haven't met the burden. I don't have to worry about arguing that it's not unconstitutional. I want to point them out. I want to take them behind the woodshed, and I want to show how they didn't do their first duties in order to be able to make that valid. I posted a tweet attempting to reframe it in a Covey swindle, the communicable disease law. Now, what she's doing is she's saying that three kids died, and it had to do with this fentanyl drug abuse, and that was what the public health matter is. It's a fear on everybody now. But little girls and boys can't go to school or to extracurricular activities without the fear of being shot. So this is an interesting angle. First of all, I gotta give it to them for the creativity of this. But I wanted to point out how I think we can adjust this. It's a public health order. It has to come through communicable disease in order to make this kind of a level of a power. This is the prerogative power I was telling you about. They're going to come out swinging and beat everybody like little baby seals with it. And she's done it. So this is kind of neat. Came pretty quick. But I wrote this, and I want you to think about what I've done relative to what I've been saying in the Covey swindle and pointing out what the officials were supposed to do. And I'm going to now adjust this over to her banning, using this as a public health order to ban a gun. And I stated this. And first of all, I got to say, first of all, I went in and found the documents. And I read them. Got a sense of what was going on. I did not go read the laws, so I don't know what their listings of things were. Because all these years, they've been so consistent across states and even districts and things like that across the world. These communicable disease, public health order type things are all pretty consistent. I just framed this situation, and I wanted just to pass this on to you. And I want this as like a little bit of a lesson to show, really doesn't matter what they do. If you stick on the duties that they were supposed to do as an official, you use that oath against them. Her oath, I guess she's an attorney too, so you can see how torts she's going to make this, but she should know better. She has a duty to follow the law. And so I frame this up this way. Where is the health official's non-fraudulent demonstration that gun violence is an infectious contagion, that law-abiding people can be afflicted by a general health order and a right to bear quarantine warranted? And I have two links in this tweet. You can read them. These are the links to the documents. I then put the hashtag that I've been using since 2020 when I started to talk about this in January or so, as far as the hindsight 2020 problem, the operation we were on, the PSYOP we were under. Op hindsight 2020, it's an ongoing tag. You can probably search Twitter for it and find a lot of stuff that I've been doing. But where is the health official's non-fraudulent demonstration that gun violence is an infectious contagion? Law-abiding people can be afflicted by a general health order and right to bear quarantine warranted, is speaking to the health order that the public health official created. And it's adapting the communicable disease duties to what they're supposed to do to have a communicable disease, a public health power. In other words, in this case, moving this just a little bit over, you're hearing me say that these three events had to be something like an outbreak. And then those three events really had to be in the larger sense, the epidemic. You notice she didn't talk about pandemic here, but they didn't even declare that. And so we can see quickly that three is not probably enough. But even so, where those three acts could influence copycats, let's say, where is their proof that those acts were and are an infectious contagion that would persuade law-abiding people in order to become those nefarious killers? That the gun is the answer to quarantine. And I hope you're hearing, all these years I've been talking, how this is, I'm going to say it, Vince, easily adapted to show there's a duty on these officials. And I looked and read through the paperwork. I saw none of this stated. And there won't be. They got all these whereases and whereases and where, but you put it down into the substance of what it's supposed to be doing. There's no, another angle of this is there's no rational relationship between the three murders. And I'm sad to hear the kids got killed and whatever happened there and the drug abuse. To hear that is sad, but does taking the gun stop the problem, put it in the communicable disease? No. Is it rationally related? Guns rationally related to the problem? Well, no, not if it's a drug abuse thing, and you see that in the public health order, or a mental health issue, or someone who wants to not be law-abiding, wants to be a menace to society. No, those sound like derelictions of the governor. And so she's pointing out her own, in my mind, pointing out where her system, or she, the reins that of the horses that she's running is running that state, she's been derelict in those other subject matter areas, and blaming you. And so, I don't know, we can go lots of discussion. I don't want to go too much on this, except to say we can, I wanted to show, we can call this a communicable disease problem, and reframe it, and then show, again, she's not doing what she's supposed to do. In other words, for you all, you have nothing that you're guilty of, and you have every power, and need to, step up and reframe their problem, and point out that they haven't fulfilled the law. I don't get into the constitutionality of it. Of course it's ludicrous. Now, there are some of the people that did, and this thing is so bad that even liberal Democrats, progressives in that state, across the country, couldn't handle this one. This is almost a scary one for everyone. But I want to point out, they went there. And that's a dangerous thing to watch. I'm hoping they went there and there's a mind to really resist it. And this is almost maybe a proof that it might be. She really went a bridge too far. AG Torres, or Attorney General Torres in that state, delivers devastating blow to anti-gun Governor Lujan Grisham. Left-wing Democrat Attorney General Raul Torres issued a letter to Democrat Governor Michelle Lujan Grisham Tuesday, telling her that he is refusing to represent her in court cases regarding her unconstitutional order to unilaterally ban gun possession in Bernalillo County for 30 days. Torres wrote in a letter, quote, "I do not believe the emergency order will have any meaningful impact on public safety. I do not believe it passes constitutional muster. I believe it is unwise to stretch the definition of public health emergency to encompass something that is fundamentally a public safety issue." Very good. So the point being, I put it in the context of a public health emergency. She can't meet muster there, can't she? And he's calling it a public safety issue. She's failed here completely. And so we have ways to get at this. But when you have even your own party members, your own people with their own psyche even coming against you, and she went there, this is a big deal because that's testing the waters ahead of the point. And this is how this nonsense starts to get, it's a snowball, and it just builds and builds and builds. This one looks utter, New Mexico governor's insanely unconstitutional gun edict slapped down in court. It went through an injunction, and it's only temporarily now, that you got to understand this too. But they went there, there has to be now a response. You can't just sit back. Someone has to stop this. And they have attempted to do that with an injunction temporarily allowed here. That a federal judge has blocked the New Mexico Democrat Governor Michelle Lujan Grisham's emergency public health order restricting gun rights following a few shootings. Quote, "This was inevitable for an order that everyone, except apparently the governor herself, knows is insanely unconstitutional," Amy Swearer, a senior legal fellow at the Heritage Foundation, told the Daily Signal in a statement Thursday after the judge's order Wednesday night. At this point, the only remaining question are how much taxpayer money Governor Grisham will waste defending the indefensible and whether New Mexicans will choose, not New Mexicans, New Mexicans, will choose to hold her accountable for her actions in any meaningful sense. And that was a big statement. When will y'all, all of us, when are we really going to roll our sleeves up and bring an action of accountability in any meaningful sense? I don't think as a society we've ever gone to the point where we've ever really thought about that. We have our fantasies, and we think we have like the Second Amendment might do it. And I've explained to you, like I did to another gentleman on the Twitter, what they just did to you in COVID swindle They're not, they don't care about how much ammo you have, and they don't care how much guns you have. They just pulled it over on you, and you did nothing. And they're going to do it again. And this is like the epitome. This is like the pinnacle of how insane it can get. And now you're into a dogfight. Because now everything they bring is something you're going to have to fight. Just like I told you, coming into all this stuff, all these years, it's going to be, you're going to have a law to protect even the most basic knowledge and basic laws and basic rights, because these people are wanting to take them. And in this country, the Second Amendment's not written in stone. There's an amendment clause. The likelihood is not high at this point, but it could happen. Lots of things have been adjusted and amended. So this was an interesting shot across the bow. It went so far, it even got an attorney general, a lawyer no less, a lawyer who was in the same party mind, to say, I'm not going to even protect. This is indefensible. I'm not going to do it at all. He identifies for us it's a public safety matter, not a public health matter. And I just wanted to show you, here, that's the legal view. I wanted to point out for you, and you have a defense against it. You can just point it out that even inside the public health situation, she did the public health power, she did not meet muster. And so I have for you the links for those executive orders. You might want to look through them. There's actually two. One was for the gun violence, and one was for the drug abuse, and then the public order, which I'll have in the middle of the two. I only addressed the gun thing for this. If you look through, they have it all official looking. Again, the costume of authority, the authorita. It looks real, real good. The seal, the state of New Mexico and all that stuff, signatures and all that. But when you look at, again, the attorney general coming out and saying this is not going to work, it doesn't, you have to learn to look through the formalities of officialness, because a lot of times, well, I can't say a lot of times, they're not in times, and it's up to you to decide to find that for yourself, and why Kobe Swindle so was, to my mind, so important to be able to learn to do that. And so few actually started to do the process and do any of the process. So this was a serious thing in a lot of levels about what insane people do to destroy your country and why it's so important to not, I know it seems futile, as Agro would say, it's actually fertile, but you've got to plant the field. You have to tend to the field. You have to do those things. To plant your own seeds and watch and then put them in fertile ground and make them grow. You have to maintain, as they say, maintain the republic, as we were told by the so-called founding fathers. This is no joke now. This is when they went this far, I said, wow, that was quick. That was quick. And so the system, the licensees take this advantage. They start to go a little too far and they test the waters. Again, this testing is a real serious problem because they'll persuade people with it. And I'm not even talking about the fear-mongering stuff, like we saw with Kobe Swindle. But doctor, they're worried about, oh, these guns killing people. Well, doctor is a licensee of the state. The doctor euthanizes, in quotes, euthanizes woman with a pillow in EU state. Euthanasia is permitted in Belgium despite being illegal in a vast majority of EU countries. A terminally ill Belgian woman was euthanized by suffocation with a pillow by a doctor after lethal drugs she requested to be administered to her to voluntarily end her life proved to be insufficient, according to the reports of the Belgian media. We can read here that Renaud Molders Pierre, a lawyer representing the family now, said that the bereaved are not demanding, quote, heavy sanctions, but added that if rules exist, it is so that the sick rooms do not turn into crime scenes where anything can be done. And this was the problem about allowing the government prerogative, state power, police power prerogatives without question, without testing. The communicable disease law has got protections that nobody used. And I was talking about the habeas. I'll bring that up again, the habeas corpus. Some of you tried it. Some of you did some work. Some of you made some up. You found out that when you get into asserting this thing that is your right to protect yourself, it's not so easy. They didn't teach us this stuff in school. And it's not quite so easy. Even after you've done it one or two times, you still have the procedures to figure out. And they've essentially walked you right out of your rights. You think you have rights, but you can't get at them. And then they give licenses to do illegal acts, but licenses are permissions to do what would be otherwise unlawful to particular people under so-called ethics rules. And they start to do this. There's no more de extension. What did they do under Kobe Swindle when they claimed that there was a virus that was killing people and old people were put on a treatment that was a ventilating tube, and that was killing them? This sounds like the opposite of being your face being stuffed with a pillow to suffocate you, but they suffocated nonetheless because they did misdiagnosed what they were dealing with. Whether it was on purpose or not, I don't know. I don't have the proof. I can just tell you it was all wrong. Should have never happened. And if anybody would have been just asserting for every old folk that was killed through a ventilator, or anybody who was cold on a ventilator was killed, that was avoidable. And nobody knew to stop it. No, the loved ones couldn't stop it. I'm stunned a little bit. And I was explaining to those that would listen what, at least to start, give yourself a chance. Give your little your loved ones a chance. But this is where it starts to go. Now, a big uproar here. You're not supposed to euthanize people with a pillow. Interesting observation, though. When you don't follow the rules, and this is what I would say, follow the duties. You don't insist that the official follows the duties that they're underneath the oath that they've agreed or the employment that they've taken. You get, your environment becomes a crime scene. I thought that was an interesting statement. So if we don't follow the rules, you're not going to get anything but crime coming from people who otherwise have this license that fails because they don't watch and pay attention. And we then moving over to the next tab here, we get these anomalies that would be predicted, but we have to wait, as I told you, about the data. And I'm not talking about being able to analyze data, because this was all the people analyzing data right now are so far behind the game and don't understand it. And they maybe have their own old agenda, but they're wasting a lot of people's time in my mind. And I keep sending these Twitters out, these X's out, to these people to say, hey, listen, here's what your data is only proving what you allowed when you didn't invoke this communicable disease protections for yourself, for anybody. Anybody didn't do it. But here we have another case of looking down the road from the past, looking now from the past into the back when it started. NHS West Isles FOL, Foyle, Fall, excuse me, Isles Fall, no COVID deaths during the entire pandemic. In a report by the BBC in March 2021, NHS West Isles Chief Executive Gordon Jameson said, the vaccine works. There's no question about that. Quote, we have the highest vaccination rates in Scotland, and we will continue to push with the vaccination program to give the population here the highest level of protection we can. However, in a later publication in November 2021, the BBC reported that the islands had suffered more COVID deaths, more infections, and more deaths from all causes after the vaccine rollout. NHS West Isles Foyle, now COVID deaths during the entire, have no COVID deaths during the entire pandemic when they went to look at it. But remarkably, we can read, not one of the island's 26,000 residents died directly from the virus. They actually put the virus in a highlight here. Not just a virus, the virus. There is no the virus, folks. Or even with the virus. Not from or with the virus. The latter being the more generous statistical measure of COVID as an underlying cause. And remember, COVID was the symptoms of the common cold, and the symptoms cannot be a cause. Reading on here, in 2020, within the hospital setting, not a single death was recorded from COVID over the entire 3 years of the alleged pandemic in anyone in the Western Isles with no known underlying health condition. It appears that this particular corner of Scotland, in fact, was very safe from the virus. Now, we've heard that virus is pretty intelligent, so maybe not so much. But here we have, now they're looking back and saying there was nothing from or with the virus. And again, you heard me talk about that. And this is only a question because none of those people, stepped up and demanded of their local health official for each one of them to demonstrate the non-fraudulent infectious agent that they were the principle of contagion for to infect anyone else. This is really a simple thing, and I'm so surprised that no one else picked it up. Maybe around the world. I'm still looking. I don't see anybody that understands how to speak through this or understands what was supposed to be done. Most people who speak about it speak in the context of, I'm not going to do that you tell me to do in the mitigation side, and all I'm going to show you as someone who can analyze these charts how bad it was. And then they ask dumb questions, like, why was this and why was that? Well, why is because you never stopped it in the first place and you let the rats play. And any fairy tale and boogeyman can show up at that point, until later, until you can catch up with it through these statistics or observations or knowledge or whatever it's been taking to get people closer to the point. And yet you see the system, these people, these globalists essentially, they don't care to keep pushing the outer limit of what it takes to get you to capitulate, to comply, to not do the law for certain. Remember, I told you a long time ago, all this adjunct policy stuff cannot meet the law. And I told you when I figured that out, that's where I said everyone has to go now. You have to know the law. That's the objective basis. They make it up, adjunct policy. But law beats policy every time. And the easy answer was, we'll just go to the black and white, and we'll find what the duties are, given they're there. And I haven't found a place where a duty and obligation for due process hasn't been there. And so let's just use that first, and let's see where that gets us. But no one really wants to go that far. We haven't been educated, and so we don't think that that's important. We can just do it with our guns. And I don't know how many times I'm going to have to say this. No one can stop the virus that doesn't exist with your gun. And look what they did to everybody. And they were killing people. And no one stepped up with their gun to go after those that were killing people. Even so. That was another interesting thing. Even people weren't that nuts to go after too many doctors, I don't think. I'm not asking you to. I'm saying you should do it in the law. You don't have to. When the official doesn't demonstrate the non-fraudulent agency, there's nothing else to do. There's no vaccine that can kill nothing. So that's over. And so we marvel that, an island of 26,000 people didn't get hit with a boogeyman. Okay, great. But does that make any sense either? And not one of those defended themselves, even so. Because in other places, people died. And I'm sure that they were doing some care. Everyone thought they had COVID. Everyone invented that they had, they got the stuffy head fever, I can't taste medicine stuff that should have been taken. And then we had looked a little bit closer and found out it was these protein strings, and they were attaching to certain receptors, and there's certain other fit, like ivermectin and nicotine, attach to those receptors and block those things out. Well, now we find out you have to, like any venom, you have to clear it out of your system, and I've been asking people to start paying attention to that. You heard all this stuff behind the woodshed as we were going along, figuring it out as we were going. I told you earlier before it started how to stop it, and not a lot of people did. Then we're in like, okay, well, let's start protecting people as well. You gotta get your immune system up. This thing is going to poison you. It's going to tell your body to poison you. And once you get it, you can't laugh at those people. They're going to now hurt, and they actually may be spreaders. And that's what we're finding out. Maybe those that never thought about the vaccine are having these oddball things. And I was talking with a fellow host here, and he's telling me anecdotally, there's lots of people getting sick that never thought about the jab. In odd way, just odd occurrences. And so we have to be very careful. And I don't know where this thing ends up going. But one thing that also came out, these 26,000 people on the aisle didn't die with or from COVID, which are symptoms. No infectious agent. We are finding now, after the fact, and a caution for us. And I started reading this story because I've been affected by this. I told you I wouldn't be here if it wasn't for an antibiotic with a kicker, they told me, the doctor. He didn't know what I had. I fought it for 2.5 weeks, and something came to my mind and said, you're not going to make it till Monday. You better get into the hospital. You're not that tough. I did a good job, but I wasn't going to work it. And I wasn't going to beat it. And that was when I was telling you I was able, my body, all my life has been able to run fevers over 106, 108 degrees. And I was like that for almost 2 weeks. And I think that's maybe what kept the bacteria at bay that was giving me blood sepsis. And listen to this. It's very interesting. I was reading just to see about the sepsis, because it's just something that happened in my past. See where they are with it. Battle intensifies against sepsis, a condition that can kill. I was told by the doctor after I went in that this sepsis will kill you in 3 to 4 days. And I was surviving with it after 2.5 weeks. Now, there are some interesting statements in this story. I'm going to read this report. But understand where we're going to go with this. I just came from the fact and told you there was a boogeyman that everyone didn't get affected by on an island. Well, that was everybody. Everyone thought that they had something. But listen to a real occurrence that's happened in the last year, as I read here, that moved from sepsis into an interesting admission relative to what they call COVID, we know. Not the symptoms, though. It's actually causing something to happen. Battle intensifies against sepsis, the condition that can kill. Sepsis is taking too many lives. 1 in 3 people who dies in the hospital has sepsis during that hospitalization. Rapid diagnosis and immediate appropriate treatment includes antibiotics are essential to saving lives. And I'm going to suggest to you that was the only, an antibiotic was the only thing that would stop this thing in me. There's nothing else that stops it, and you need to get on it as quickly as possible. I'm asking you to consider, as we all, not we all, but lots of people are getting anomalous sicknesses. Consider how quickly you're going to have to diagnose this for yourself. And I don't say I'm getting no fear mongering. Just be authentic with what you think you got going. And consider that maybe something like this is going on. Maybe in someone else who participated in the jab. But many different types of infections can lead to sepsis, including bacterial blood infections and COVID-19. Can you believe that, folks? They actually listed COVID-19? But think about that. Think about that. We know that that's just symptoms. We also know that there was really no the virus. But we also know there was a warp speed attack, don't we? And I told you that warp speed attack would be where the contagion is. It's not a contagion. It's a chemical weapon. It was being deployed at warp speed. And so don't underestimate what they just admitted to right here. We're going to move on here. I want to say the word including in this, when you read them normally in news, the word including only includes those things listed. Unlike law, which depending on the form of the sentence, the word including may mean a class of things, or it may mean exclusive to the list after the word including. In other words, including mostly for the purposes of law, it usually means only those things listed thereafter. And so I would tell you to read this. The only thing that does sepsis is a bacterial blood infection. That's what I got. And it took a pathway. It started out as a flu. It wasn't the flu that did it. It was a bacteria that was in my lung that when I tried not to sneeze, I ripped my pleural sac. The tear caused the entry for the bacteria to move in to my bloodstream, and that bacteria then found a loving, warm place to live and went to town. And the battle was on. And if you don't get to that one, within about 4 days, it kills most people. Right now, we're looking at a third are coming into the hospital, and when you get in, you are getting it. So we have to be careful on what are we carrying in as well. But making this bacterial blood infection, what they're also attributing to COVID-19 here, making it challenging to diagnose and treat. An associate professor named Chaz Langlier says, he's a medical professor of the medicine of division of the infectious disease of the University of California, San Francisco. So we're talking sepsis, but infectious disease experts looking at this thing. He says sepsis involves the out-of-control immune response to an underlying infection. And this is where it breaks down a little bit, where they talk about someone with a weakened immune system is more susceptible. My thought, if you have a weakened immune system, how does it invigorate enough to go and fight this thing? Usually the new theories are that it's just the opposite. Because you have a vital immune system, it can kill you. It's unregulated and over responds. In other words, when I look at myself, my body went to almost immediately over-responding to this thing. It was at temperatures of 106 to 107 and 108 degrees. I even think it was 109, but I think in my delirium, I can't remember exactly. I don't think my thermometer stopped, but it went above the 108. So my body was overregulated, but my health, my immune system was super strong, apparently. I mean, super strong. The doctor was amazed, actually. He goes, I'm looking at a dead man. So apparently whatever my body did was enough to buy me time that normally kills people. But it was really overrunning. So I can see where if I have a good immune system, it was doing its thing, unregulated. Some of the weakened system, I'm not so sure. So I'm not so sure about this part. But here, sepsis involves an out-of-control immune system response to an underlying infection. While sepsis can affect anyone, those with weakened immune systems or chronic infections are at higher risk. It's possible, I suppose, your body goes into a hyperdrive and there's nothing left. It's just a lot of gas, out of gas, real quick. Now, I want you to consider what they just said about COVID. And I want you to consider that its origins from Fauci come out of HIV. They come out of weakened immune system interferences that they did. Okay, so understand that. Chronic infections. So you could have not even HIV, you could just have a chronic infection and be susceptible. That's a comorbidity as well, isn't it? Just what we were talking about. Moving on here to read. Early diagnosis and appropriate early treatment with antibiotics are essential in improving outcomes and saving lives for patients with sepsis. With sepsis, early identification and management can truly make the difference between life and death. And my study about it and the doctor talking with the doctor, it's absolute. Absolutely, you can die without even knowing it. That brought me back to my thought, and I told you about when I was looking at what we might be looking at with these proteins, and I put in my symptomology into the internet and tried to pull out what it was. Remember, I talked to you about that little worm, that spiked worm in South America. That the woman had stepped on a nest of them and took her down. And she was in the hospital immediately. And she died 3 days later. And they didn't know why. She was bleeding and she was clotting and she was bruising. Remember, if you remember what I talked to you about that. And I said, this stuff is a protein, a synthetic protein that mimics, not the snake. It could be any protein. I'm not going to just denounce the snake necessarily, but the symptoms were both clotting and bleeding. This was the only little creature that came up that could do that. But I thought, and I told you then, that what I think they're synthesizing in the protein is a protein venom. All venoms are protein. And it happened to be this one. It could be anyone. Right? There's nothing to stop the protein synthesis to be any one of these venoms. But it causes certain responses in you, and it apparently is an ability to cause the sepsis. And wouldn't you think so? It's causing a destruction of your body. And it starts to do its thing, and it's all unregulated at that point. The reason why it's so important in life and death is because if the sepsis worsens, vital organs such as the brain, heart, and kidneys don't get as much blood as they should. Sepsis may cause atypical blood clotting. The resulting small clots are burst blood vessels that may damage or destroy tissue. Now think of that, what I just said about the girl who had the bleeding and the tissue damage in her skin, all over her body, blood clotting. This sounds just like that. Again, it could be any venom protein that they've made. And understand what we're talking about here. We're talking about sepsis. We're not talking about really COVID, but they're pointing out everything that we've identified that this chemical weapon could do and what it looked like it was, does all this. And so I guess I'm saying for what I just looking at generically, oh, what are they doing with sepsis and having a history, an engagement with the bacteria that tried to kill me. Just interested that way. I'm turning into looking at this thing and saying, wow, maybe people really have to start paying attention. There's a whole lot more going on here. We think it's COVID. It's actually sepsis. It's a blood infection. It's something that the chemical weapon is doing to us that's causing it. And maybe the doctors, you understand this story, is saying they're trying to get a handle on it. They're trying to figure out ways to get it more, address it quicker. This is something outside of most of their purview. So understand, I guess I'm talking about this because this is a serious thing. You get caught by this, you'll be dead before you understand it most of the time. And the doctor may not understand it. And like I told you, when the doctor looked at me, it still took him 20, 25 minutes, if I remember correctly. He didn't know what he was dealing with. And he went to his books. And 25 or so minutes later, he comes walking back in and he says, I think I have the answer. We'll have you fixed. And so this took a while. It's not something, and that's enough time to kill you. This stuff works really fast. The bacteria, it multiplies really quickly inside your blood system. But anyway, here, they're moving toward the last few paragraphs here. Very interesting. In the first and last, now here's the interesting part about when this thing is correlated to COVID-19. And I'm not talking about the virus. I'm talking about a chemical weapon. I'm talking about a venom, a protein venom packed in a way that the body can use it and then is told to produce it. In the last fiscal year, Northwestern Medicine Dinor Hospital in Geneva, Illinois, saw a 10% increase in the total number of sepsis patients. There also was a 33% increase in patients who arrived with severe sepsis, signaling the need for the effective and timely sepsis treatment. All in the last year, folks. Where'd that come from? How about if we just go ahead and say it's something we got to be, forget where it caused, it's happening. Understand you may have friends and loved ones around you that may be looking at this problem, and you may need to have the answer for them really quick. This is really fast-acting stuff. But I want you to note here, remember it said 33%? Remember in the beginning it said 1 in 3? 33% is the 1 in 3 mentioned at the beginning of the article. This is a real thing, folks. It's coming in the door. And so it's all of a sudden in the last year. And I can't say enough on how I'm disappointed as a groups of peoples around the world, we didn't stop it. Now that we see that we didn't stop it, they got to do what they got to do, and now we have a future unending problems, it seems. That said, I want to recall, and because of the discussion I just had, remember that the ivermectin and the nicotine goes after the plugs the same receptor, which stops this protein manipulation of the body. And then, because the venom will stay in your body, I've been told, for over almost 10 years or so, you need to work yourself into a cleansing program to remove those toxin, those venom protein strings, while you keep the receptors connected to something else. It works very similar, the same way the connection is like a cannabinol. And so this is what you're looking. This was the therapy we found out early on. I was telling you about. You plug the receptor that causes the door for this chemical. It can't bind. It can't tell the cell what to do, to do the wrong thing. And so you have to really look at this really close. I want to advance that here as we're starting to see, this sepsis is a deal. I mean, this is a serious thing. You do not want to get this thing and then not know that that's what you have. Because if you're any weak at all, most people, I'm an anomaly that way. The doctor just didn't understand how I could still be alive. So I can't take my timing schedule and say it. I will just go with what the doctor said. Most people die in 4 days if they don't figure out what it is. By 4 days, you're dead. So let's keep now moving here on, moving into what they continue to do as they get away with it. They continue to bring it on. Quick takes, new moronic variant, avian flu testing in fur farms, Powassan virus death in Rhode Island. There's a whole bunch of stuff going on. I didn't want to go get too lost in all of that, but I just wanted to go down like one of the headings here. It says over the past, one of the paragraphs, over the past 2 days, virologists in Israel and Denmark have reported that what appears to be a second generation BA2 lineage Omicron, which was the moronic virus that has numerous mutations in the spike protein. Remember, spike was those little critters had spikes, those little worms, silkworms had spikes, and their venom is a protein, is how I started to look at it this way. But at any rate, going back to here, mutations in the spike protein, while noting that it's too soon to say what impact it will have and exactly what variant it originated from. T. Ryan Gregory, PhD, an evolutionary biologist who specializes in genome evolution at the University of Guelph in Kyrgyzstan, said on Twitter that it's notable that the virus isn't restricted to one region. Well, that's just restating the pandemic, isn't it? So this is them coming back. They're not going away. Meanwhile, Jay Weiland, an infectious disease modeler, can I say that again? Jay Weiland, an infectious disease modeler, said the yet unnamed new virus, many spike mutations may come with wider range of outcomes. Can I go back to that little phrase? Did you catch that? A disease modeler? What? A modeler? He didn't really see something? He didn't really touch it, taste it? Well, I guess you don't want to taste it. He didn't find it. He didn't demonstrate it. He models it. Because I think all you need to know about this boogie monster that they created, this COVID swindle that they put on everybody. They talk about the virus. It doesn't exist. Why? Because it's a chemical weapon. We know that because it's a patent. The CDC has the patent in 2003. I've been through all this. I don't want to keep going around with that. But what's interesting is how they keep toying with us. And if you listen carefully and you keep doing your deeper studies and look around, and I did my basic study, but I don't have a ton of time to go through this, but I found a few little keys. Here we have this one. There's a new COVID-19 variant on the block that's generating alarm. Newspaper headlines around the world so far, the BA286 variant, nicknamed Pyrola, after a large asteroid that hangs out near Jupiter, has been detected in 11 countries. That tagline was kind of interesting. Has the Pyrola been detected by 11 countries? Is that what they're saying there? I'm confused. At any rate, the BA286 came up, and the Pyrola came up, and I did some quick check, and yeah, you can look and you can find that there's an asteroid. It's, I think, between Mars and Jupiter. Some people put it in your Venus and wherever else in the universe. It doesn't matter. The point is that word Pyrola, it sits right there to be in your face, and maybe disgustingly so. I will defer my word study to the good folks over at True Stream Media with a link over to their Odyssey account and to what the word Pyrola means. And I want to ask those of you who might be listening, the Galician speaking or the Argentinians amongst you, how do we not hear this word, this definition from you all this time? How do you hold a straight face when we find out what these people do and these names they bring on? They just poke us all the time with these things. I'll let True Stream Media tell you that she does a good job going through with her astonishment for what she found and moving through language, right? You know, it's not just legal, and it's not just English. You know, she goes through and finds out that there's one word, it has one meaning, and it's spoken in two places of the world, and everybody there knows what this is. The elites, if you will, are laughing at us. And so we can keep up not paying attention. We can be ignorant. We can not be interested to go search things out to see if whether or not everything fits the mold and the model that they've set up that this modeler does, to invent these new viruses and see what the model might do. Or we can realize and use those as proof to prove we're being played. We don't have to be played. And there's ways to get at that. And whether or not we need to, it may be another question, but when they're coming after your job, they're coming after your work, they're coming after some benefit you need, they're coming after your kids, they're coming after your life and your rights and your interaction with people, I think it's time you step up more than say, I won't comply. I've been through all of this, all before. How to do that? It's not that hard. Let's say for the third party business owner, I told you going through one state's rules. Yes, I go through the rules. That's how they interpret what they're doing, and they balance it against how they're supposed to go about it. I told you and went through an hour and a half or so discussing it. I said, well, here's the punchline. All of this reduces down to the fact that the business, third party business, who wants to keep you from buying from them, which is kind of dumb anyway. You don't want to not do that. You want to make business with them. Their interest in law and rules is that whether or not they have proof and evidence that you are a contagion of death. Is your risk of death to them or their customers evidenced? That's the whole question. All of what you might want to say. Now, if they don't have that evidence, and how did they get it? They don't have it. What you rely on is that the local official didn't say that you were, and do they have evidence to the contrary, would be a better way to start that discussion than trying to argue with them. because their people are feared. They're feared, and they're not listening. And so you got to kind of get in quick and faster, but not so fast they don't get it. And that means that you got to get to the punchline. And you can point out with, you have with you, as I said, your bag of law would be this, a card, a piece of information that said, this is what the state says. Am I at risk of death to anybody here? And if they don't have that evidence, now they can still not maybe serve you. The point is you have a conversation with that one and you say there's a standard and it hasn't been met and I'd appreciate it if I could do business with you unless you have evidence that I'm going to be a risk of death to you or your customers. The local official, this is where you stand on the law, the local official has not declared me to be someone who is a risk of death to anybody. Do you have any other evidence? That's the same similar approach that you do to your employer, where you tell the employer where the local official hasn't declared me to be a principle of contagion. What evidence do you have that says that it is, that I am? Well, they won't have that because they don't have the authority to have that. The thing is, it's a very quick and short discussion. They still may not want you there, but the point is that at least you have the you have them on the wrong foot. You have them without the authority to do what they're doing. It's much better than to say, oh, I'm not going to comply. Yeah, that's not going to get you anywhere. They have all these folks would have the power because of their fear, because there's been an overt declaration somewhere else to say that you are the one that is causing the problem. So you have to come back and you have to respond. It says, where's the evidence that says that? The local official hasn't. And I told everyone about these things, and here we have, again, it took years, fired NYC teachers who refused vaccine to be reinstated with back pay, says a judge. New York State judge on Wednesday ruled that 10 employees fired by the new NYC Department of Education for refusing the COVID-19 vaccine must be reinstated with back pay. In the ruling, the state Supreme Court Judge Ralph Porzio ruled that the city acted illegally when it denied religious exemptions to certain city teachers who went to the Children's Health Defense to sponsor a lawsuit against the department following a failed attempt to claim religious accommodation for the mandate. Quote, this court sees no rational basis, there's your standard, no rational basis for not allowing unvaccinated classroom teachers in an admitted population of primarily unvaccinated students, wrote Porzio, adding, as such, the decision to summarily deny the classroom teachers amongst the panel petitioners based on an undue hardship without any further evidence of individualized analysis is arbitrary, capricious, and unreasonable. And such, even classroom teachers amongst the panel petitioners is entitled to a religious exemption from the vaccine mandate. It's not much different than what I was saying in other ways and for reasons. The individual analysis is what the law requires, the communicable disease law. And I'm going to suggest to you, this is, even though this is a good deal, they should have never lost their jobs. I've told you this is the wrong answer. Because none of those people had to file a religious exemption for a virus that hasn't been demonstrated yet. See that? And so this is what I've been telling you about the problem. These people got it back. They got reinstated. There's some other stories around that. There's some people not getting reinstated. And so there's not a win right there. But these people got reinstated. But it's on the religious exemption, which I told you the document I offered to be supposedly a religious exemption actually challenged their jurisdiction and authority to impose any mandate until there was a demonstration of the infectious agent and that you, the employee, carried that, was the principle of contagion before you needed to do any of these exemptions. I hope you get the subtlety of this, because if you don't step back far enough, you give them the authority. So you see right here there's a hesitation that he says it's without a further evidence. That means that they had authority to look for the evidence. My tack on this is to say they don't have the jurisdiction to even go look for evidence until. What's that until? Until they do their duties underneath the law, the communicable disease law in this particular case. And if you listen very carefully, as I said before on the gun issue, there's no rational basis to tie the three deaths of the kids and drug abuse to all other law-abiding citizens. So you see the words right here. I haven't been saying anything different than this judge shows up here. And congratulations to those, and congratulations to Children's Health Defense with Kennedy Jr. here. You know, it's his stuff. So, I don't like what he's doing as a candidate, even though he's got a platform to speak in soundbite stumping, which brings the issues out, which I don't have a problem with that either. But when you're running for president underneath that cover, that camouflage, I'm a little concerned. But more power to them to get this put out. But you notice, I want you to pay attention to the subtlety. They won. It looks like they won, but they conceded there was authority in whomever imposed the first restriction. They were given the authority to do the imposition. They just did it wrong. And that's the wrong answer. And I hope people are listening close enough to understand that point. That's critical, a critical subtlety to understand. Not really so subtle. It's all about jurisdiction. It's all about, did you do as an official the first thing the first five things in this case, sometimes 15, like in the state of Nevada. Did you do those things first before you started talking to me about mitigation? And then isn't that relative to my doctor and me, and I get to choose what's going to be the thing that stops me from being a threat to society? See, it doesn't work. It's not the government coming in and saying all this, but we tend to rely on the government. We tend to not enforce our own power. Now, question now coming, are we going to a little bit of politics? Biden will use a COVID to rig the election, says Trump. And so this thing is a lingering problem. Remember, Trump used COVID to destroy the nation. Well, I know I just fried a bunch of ears right there. Anybody who wants to swing around with MAGA, there's some truths around this place that need to be talked about. Yeah, we're going to have a president. So I'm not even into that part. You guys are going to vote a president. The electors are going to put a president in. I don't know who that's going to be. I don't know how that's going to come. But understand the truth of what's going on. Biden will use the COVID to rig the election, says Trump. But Trump was the one that allowed COVID to destroy the nation. And I talked all about that, and before he did so. And I fully explained how the dominoes would fall from the federal to the state. The state would pick up the bribe, which was the money, and then they'd start implementing this thing with the sanctions of the federal government that had no authority whatsoever. For those of you that are into any kind of thought that America means laws, you have to go back to the organic establishment and realize it's not a joke that there was a district, Washington, D.C., that's federal, and there's states, a bunch of them, and we're not talking about the administrative states, and we're not talking about the states of the district. We're talking about the states of the union. Well, until it was overtaken by Civil War and another lawyer. So, we have in this organic establishment a reservation to the states for health care matters. There is no authority in the feds. So Biden will use the COVID to rig the election. I don't know how, but Trump did it. He had no authority to do it. No one's talking about this stuff. Biden couldn't use COVID if Trump had stopped it in its tracks as local communicable disease law requires. Even the local law in D.C. requires this scrutiny, this duties. So where was Trump in 2020? He's like, here's a self-inflicted wound. He allowed COVID, if that's going to be the case, to rig the election, if it is, which I think is a bunch of puff. But if it's possible, Trump did that to himself. If it's something, and people think it is, so it is. That's the thing about how, you want to talk about proving how powerful imagination is? Look at Kobe Swindle. Look at what's happened. And there was no reason for it. None. Zero. And some of us lucked out if we didn't have another better thought. We just don't trust. So we didn't get involved in it. Some of us were studying it and saying, no, there's a big problem here. It's not following anything it's supposed to follow that it has to follow. And so we weren't going to go that way. Not because it was, oh, we're just contrary. It's because we saw a major law violation going on. I come in and said, we've got to now articulate that for our own protection. If we had, none of these people would have had to file exemptions. None of these people would have to be threatened officially Now, there's going to be lunatics that are people that think you have to have the mask. That's what I was saying. You got to walk away from those people. I'm talking the official, the power of the government could not come down on your head had you protected yourself. You wouldn't even have to really concern yourself with it. It wasn't a question. It wasn't whether you were jabbed or not, vaxxed or not. It had nothing to do with any of that. What it had to do with was that for any one of you, the local official never did the duties for, in your case, the case that they made so important, they never really made that case, and then they didn't give you the due process. In the exemptions, there's really no power in anybody to deny those either, if you've been paying attention to that. And I don't hear that in the judge's order before that I just read. No, he actually gave them the power to put five other elements in, and if he had those, they could throw it out. That's not the way the law reads. But moving on about what the law ought to read, I guess, and what the evidence needs to be, and whether you have it or not. I told you that there's no evidence in this collusion. I got that directly from the prosecutor that got ousted in Ukraine, and I told you about how that worked. U.S. House panel seeks evidence of collusion between Joe Biden and Hunter's business partners. Right there. The House is seeking evidence of collusion. They don't have it. And this is the big problem. We all hear all the Republicans want to do this and that and the other. They got no evidence. It's all conjecture. Just like the ex-Ukrainian prosecutor was talking, all conjecture. If I could have, I would. Well, that doesn't mean you have. And so this whole, we're still walking down the boogeyman trail. We're walking down the suggestion that the fiction will has a power and can actually do something. And people ride that, and people rally around that. Look at all the people wanting to see justice, and we find out the House panel who's saying that they're going after Biden, they need now evidence of collusion. Fascinating what we overlook pretty quickly. They go, do I read the story? Maybe a little bit, the entry? Since 2018, Hunter Biden has been under a spate of investigations into tax-related crime, drug abuse, and money laundering. Listen to those and remember that list. And illegal business dealings in foreign countries, including Ukraine and China. The House Oversight Committee, Chairman Comer, who is leading Republican probes into Biden's family finances, has expanded his request of the National Archives to seek more emails and documents from when Joe Biden served as vice president under Barack Obama. Enough. They have known they're seeking information, seeking evidence. This is what you have to have. And so I don't know. I always look around. I listen to what people have to say. They don't have evidence. We have our druthers, I suppose. But Hunter becomes the hunted. I think I mentioned this, but here it is in the title. Hunter becomes the hunted. Question? Biden, that's the question. Biden indictment may be ruse for prolonged cover-up. We read, the American people, or a substantial portion of the public, believe the Department of Justice and the entire criminal justice system has been hopelessly politicized. It's been weaponized, to use the Republican term, says this gentleman named Lazar. I think it's a gentleman. Yeah, this is the problem, right? It's a big fairy tale story. It's a big kabuki theater. I've been shocked that no one seems to be able to get any evidence, and then I look around the country, and the people are convicted at a 98% conviction rate around this country in the justice system. And what we are supposed to be watching, we see this politicizing, this weaponization, they want to call it, of the justice system. See, people like me, I already know it's been used as a weapon. It's been used as a weapon against all of us, except for those that are well-placed, like we're seeing evidence. And it irritates us, and we'd like to see justice, and we don't really see it moving that quick. We see what they're doing to Trump, a travesty, on one hand. On the other, it's the kabuki theater. The government, though, these officials with these oaths, these duties that are supposed to be going on, now, we laugh at them. There's no law in the country, but none of us step up to protect ourselves. The Comey swindle was the... It gave everybody standing for themselves. There's so many cases going down because they don't have the standing. No, this gave everybody standing for themselves against an imposition. The government is not to breach even the appearance of impropriety, except the people don't care to demand that respect for themselves. And so they settle for this weaponization of the government. And then we're all frustrated when nothing goes on. But we rally against the next guy leading, like Trump, who wants to claim he's going to get justice. I'm going to clear this one. Now I'm going to really clean this swamp. Complains that maybe Biden's going to use COVID to rig the election. See, that's the big theme, rigging the election. You see it all over the world now. Isn't that interesting? Doesn't anybody think that's interesting? But Trump started that against himself, the COVID. And so here we have this voice. Trump issues ominous warning for U.S. after Hunter Biden gun charges. Now, after the release of the charges against Hunter, and remember that list before that he was involved in, it wasn't just gun charges. Gun charges wasn't even on that other list. It was tax-related crimes, drug use, money laundering, illegal businesses, and dealings with foreign countries. So the charges now come up against Hunter are gun-related. What happened to the rest? Former President Donald Trump has warned that the country may never be the same again after the criminal indictment of Hunter Biden on felony gun charges. The President, Joe Biden's son, frequently targeted by Trump and other Republicans with unsubstantiated accusations of corruption tied to the president, was indicted Thursday on 3 federal charges accusing him of being an illicit drug user while possessing a gun and lying about the use of drugs in order to purchase the firearm. Well, this seems to be the problem with the New Mexico governor, wasn't it? About drugs and guns. Well, this maybe Hunter is the one that bill should be stopping. But anyway, Trump suggested the Truth Social post on Thursday that it was very unfair that the president himself was not facing any charges despite no evidence having been presented that would support criminal charges against Joe Biden or tie him to the allegations leveled against his son. And that's the problem. We just heard the House is looking for evidence. This is just a big ruse for everyone to get excited like something's really going to happen. Something should happen, but something normally doesn't happen. And then we shrug our shoulders and say the system doesn't work because none of us get together in any number to do even what we think is futile. Just do something. Well, I looked and I saw the over 3 or so years, nobody stepped up to protect themselves on the COVID swindle. I knew we were in a deeper place than I was even anticipating. I mean, deeper. We're in that stinking abyss big time. And we don't know how to crawl out or float out or not find out that we're not there at all. They're putting us there. And in all this tumult, in the condition where there's no actual evidence, we hear that they're going to try and impeach now. They're going to start running it through a committee, always a committee, to run an impeachment of Biden. Yeah. So what the White House comes out, to show you total, to me, it's one corruption after the next. The White House tells media how to cover the Biden impeachment. What they actually say is go after the Republicans. Administration lawyers have prepared a letter urging the press to ramp up its scrutiny on Republican lawmakers. Part of this is, I got to laugh, this is pretty funny stuff, but it's deadly serious. They're actually wanting to invoke the media to go attack the congressmen that are looking, without evidence at this point, looking to go after an impeachment. So I have a question. It's a question. This is not a rhetorical question. I have a question. Wouldn't the White House telling the media to scrutinize the Republican lawmakers, meaning they'd have to write stories about them, isn't that an obstruction of Congress? And would the media be accessories? And that's two questions. And then the third, if so, why don't we hear Congress coming out after both? Under like a potential contempt charge or something like that, or obstruction of congressional power. And isn't this a separation of powers problem as well? Unless the White House can declare how Congress doesn't have this power, isn't this an obstruction of Congress? So does anybody know? I mean, I haven't had a mind to go look at it. I'm asking. I don't know. I guess the point is, if it's true, there's obstruction of Congress, and they're not saying anything, or again, don't expect much. They're not actually rolling up their sleeves and not actually after making something happen. is just, again, a waste of time. It's all political theater. It's electioneering, essentially. Election contamination. We kind of know that with Trump and all the cases they have up against him now. Now, they waited all this time. They could have done it a year and a half ago. They could have leveled charges. No, they try it now. And this has a timing problem that comes in. But I'd like to know, maybe somebody who's done some research, would this be the White House, which is one branch of government, breaching the separation of power and obstructing Congress and then threatening congressmen? And what's the remedy? What's the accountability for that? Whether it gets done or not is not what I'm asking. What is the accountability? Do we look at Garland now when he shuffles his feet and doesn't say, wait a minute, that's not something we can allow? Like the other attorney general did, like the attorney general did in the state, to say, I'm not going to support your gun grab here underneath the public health order. So I'm just kind of putting stuff together to see, where are these people that are running this place into the ground? Where are they all? Are they all together? Are they meeting? They doing these things? Are they separate? Do they have it together? Are they losing it? Just a kind of a general overview looking at what's going on. What's the internals of what's going on as we see it roll out? And as the politics moves on and we see the problems and this guy Biden is looks like he's having trouble to me. I mean, then he's got a vice president that I can't even understand how she got where she got. I hear some pretty scandalous things about her, but let's not move there. I don't see how she can be a president. Neither here nor there. We got a problem with the president. He's got the scandals around him. He's potentially got physical and mental problems. He's going to get a lot older, and it's been looking like for a long time they're trying to get him moved out. And then we get this little interesting story, I thought, that we have the White House trying to intimidate the Republican congressmen as they do their thing. But at the same time, and do we have a laying of the tracks for the Democrats to change the politics as the election moves forward? As they try to destroy Trump in the time of the election, and then they just they give the suggestion for Biden to gracefully leave, but we see this story, does Brandon leave based on this suggestion, the time to transition, Biden urged to retire by GOP Senator Romney. Well, Romney just came out, and he's going to retire. Mitt Romney, the 2012 GOP presidential nominee and a prominent Utah Republican, made an announcement on Wednesday that he will not run for re-election in 2024. He expressed his willingness to step aside to clear the path for a new generation of leaders. 76-year-old Republican Senator Mitt Romney has called on U.S. President Joe Biden to join him in retirement and annul his bid for re-election next year. Is this an interesting uniparty discussion here? Is this where the seed drop is happening? We'll just lay the tracks and let Brandon follow and give him the ability to gracefully leave. I don't know. I think this is a pretty neat play. When you don't look at them as two parties and in one, and they have a shifting issue problem, this is an interesting little foray, suggestion, and not sure that it is going to work, because it's easy to say it came from a Republican. But it does start to open the door and the idea, which is being pressed upon by the Democrats. But their pressing is to not make an insult, they claim, to the vice president, which apparently it's a political party. It can do what it wants. It's private. The Democratic Party, the Republican Party, these are private parties. We had that court case that the administration of those parties, the boards, can do whatever they want, make any decisions they want. We have now, on this hesitation, running for president would be racist, Biden allies tell Democrats. Party leaders have warned that seeking the presidency if U.S. incumbent drops his re-election bid would disrespect Kamala Harris. Kamala Harris? Is this election tampering or dishonesty? And I have to say no. This is an internals of an organization telling all their members, And we're going to use this really politically, this charged word called racism. And I don't quite get this, but in particular, well, just in particular, the party's leaders have warned that seeking the presidency if U.S. incumbent drops his reelection, if Biden decides not to go, that he would disrespect Kamala Harris. And I want to know, what is it that would be racist to run against Kamala Harris? Now, you know her pictures. You know what she looks like. They throw that word out. But see, I look a little different. Maybe you do too. I want to know kind of why. Why would they use racist? Is it somehow disrespectful to the occupying race of lawyers, as defined in Doubleday Dictionary in about 1974, I think it was the year, under the term race? Is that what you'll disrespect? Another lawyer? That they say it's racist to run against her? So no, it's not election tampering. This is uniparty. Each party has its own function, and so this is them telling the other members of the party back off. And to me, looking at what she does and what she doesn't do, actually, this is disappointing in a large measure. I can't even imagine. I thought listening to Hillary Clinton made me nauseous. This lady, I don't even know. I don't even know what to say. But is it? Is it racist because we'd be challenging a lawyer? And that's the definition, that's the example of the group that's underneath that definition in the dictionary. Is it the lawyers? Of all the things they could have chosen, they chose the race of lawyers under the term race. So that's what I started to tell you a long time ago. This is not about color. Race is not about color. And this is how they're doing it to you. Your language is being contorted. And they use these broad, comprehensive words in order to control the narrative, if I can say it that way. And continuing a little bit on the election, I typically don't do the politics too much. I'm not really that interested, but the dynamic is here. Is historic, what's going on. The corruption is historic. The self-inflicted woundings are historic. The crickets of the people is historic. The level of the destruction is historic. And we're watching this thing now in an election cycle. It starts to come out as all the poisons coming out of the pores. Trump's federal election subversion trial to begin one day before Super Tuesday primary. I don't know how this is not election tampering. And they show this other guy, Smith, that I talked about, the prosecutor. The federal criminal trial of Donald Trump on charges he sought to subvert the result of the 2020 presidential election will begin on March 4th, 2024, the day before Super Tuesday primary, a federal judge ruled. Now, I'll just stop there. Now, the subject matter of this is that he's moved to get to her to recuse herself. They're doing filings on that. The point is that how is this not election tampering by the judiciary? And then that asks you have to ask the question, how is this because they had they've been a year and a half late to bring these types of charges? Why did they wait till now? So that they could do that. And that the judiciary is not there to check and balance these problems. And with this Georgia case, a remarkably dishonest DA Fannie Willis violates the law. I wanted to point out again, the DAs are pretty much immune, unless you find, as I read, the only thing I could find that they're vulnerable to is a dishonesty. And so what I found interesting is this title is remarkably dishonest. And I think this is the story where somebody knows how to put this together. They need to be the one to file the complaint. And I don't mean just because of Trump. Any of these attorneys, anyone, especially the prosecutors, they've gotten so vile in what they do. And we saw a lot of that. It was so bad in the Ammon Bundy case. not even the judge could agree with those prosecutors, and she had to out them, otherwise she'd get thrown under the bus too. Georgia law makes it unlawful to knowingly file a court document, quote, knowing of or having reason to know that such a document is false or contains materially false, fictitious, or fraudulent statement or representations. They give you the code. D.A. Willis is well aware of this law. She charged a number of defendants, including Donald Trump, Rudy Giuliani, and John Eastman, with a violation of the law that for filing a document that contained a, quote, material false statement in federal court. And she just violated it this week. If you know, if someone knows this, this is how you write, this is where you write your complaint against her, if you feel so inclined. If you feel you want to protect justice, if you want to see justice served, if you think she's doing something wrong. I hear lots of people complaining about it. It's all partisan, it seems. This is how you start putting it together. It is not just for her, it's for about anybody. You have to have the evidence, again, that that they're doing this stuff wrong, and someone has to speak out about it. And it says here, if you read as well, and as you might have guessed, the case cited by D.A. Willis does not stand for the proposition that a speedy trial demand means a criminal defendant waives the 7-day trial notice. The case cited by D.A. Willis in Likaus versus State, which concerns the remedies where there is a violation of Rule 32.1, it doesn't excuse noncompliance with Rule 32.1. At minimum, the motion from D.A. Willis was deserving of sanctions. The trial judge, however, denied the motion without full briefing from the defendants. He wasn't concerned with accountability. This is that motion I was telling you about. He found that it wasn't valid and just dismissed it. What they have to do is they have to go back and file paperwork to say that she filed it. If, well, we have to find out if they responded. If they had to respond, now they're harmed. And then you can go after the D.A. Willis here. Instead, we see a story from Zero Hedge talking about how bad she is, and nobody's going to, those that may have the possibility to do so aren't going to do more. So this is, again, our own self-inflicted wound as a people, not monitoring, which the government will tell you we have the right to do, to understand and hold accountable these officials. We're not doing the next step. It's the same type of thing here that I'm saying that people for Julian Assange should have done over there. Dishonest prosecutor. How about the author here? And I have a link over to Technofog. File a complaint with the state and put that in issue. Sounds like when the judge dismissed the motion, that set her up. She's done. The judge denying that motion shows that it was wrong. And then all they have to do is find those elements that I read, that the law read. No, I didn't. I read the law. It says right there, those are the words you use. And you do that as a complaint, and you press it. Anybody who reads this article, who thinks this is important, can do that. Now, I wouldn't say just do that on your without just from the article. Get versed in the subject matter. But that's what it's going to take. People are going to have to get interested enough to start nailing these things, not like we see the celebrities do, the Trumps and the Bidens and the Hunters. No, we've got to do a lot more substantial, because you're going to be held at a different standard. And if a lot of us started doing it, and we are doing correlated work, it's going to be a lot harder. Like I said, it's going to take more work from us, but when you come and you do it correctly, it's very much harder for them to get rid of it. At least you start making that noise that the government, no occupier wants the natives to be restless, and they have to figure out ways to ameliorate it. 39 people, and I'm moving on to the dishonesty, and I have another question coming. 39 people, the Georgia special grand jury recommended charges against. Reading this story was kind of interesting, just as a question. The grand jury didn't just want to indict 18 people in this case. They have 39 people that the grand jury wanted to indict. Relative to that prosecutor, she only chose 18. I have a question. Maybe somebody knows. I didn't have the time to go research it and study. Nothing came to my mind as an answer real quick. Is a grand jury indictment for prosecution discretionary? In other words, when the prosecutor, Fannie Willis, used her prosecutorial discretion to use the grand jury, was their decision binding on her? And if it is, isn't then not charging all the 39? Isn't that a prohibited, selective, and vindictive prosecution? So if you can find that answer, you can add on to the other guy's, this other guy's analysis, this problem. If it's true, and I couldn't find the answer quick enough, so I just leave it. If it's true, once she has prosecutorial discretion to do two things, and she chose to do this thing. Once she did exercise that, does she have continuing prosecutorial discretion to disregard the grand jury? And again, see, selective and vindictive prosecution is a violation to her. And so, putting these things together, I can care less about those 39 people, but there's an injustice going on. I mean, I'm talking about the politics of it all. But there are people that are facing the awesome power of the state, the prerogative power of the state, and a prosecutor that's almost absolutely immune. Where's the check and balance and accountability for when they go bad? It's right here. Finding these little elements out and bringing them forward. And I tell you this, as a listener, to allow you to understand, you may not be interested in this thing, but something in your life may come along where you have to be interested. And I hope in my discussion of this, you start learning that there's elements to be looked at, there's standards to be met, there's things to be analyzed, and you can learn to start getting your mind geared up. And I say that because I think we're coming in, the attacks are going to be more and more in different areas. It's not just this stuff. I mean, we're never going to be a Trump and this stuff going to happen. The point is, you might be conditioned by a grand jury based on a prosecutorial thing, and then you find out that you are the target and some other people that they brought in like a conspiracy were let go. And if you can answer this question, maybe we can get rid of, if this is true that it's wrong, we get rid of a bad prosecutor and we send the message to the rest. It's not going to happen on its own. Can American voters trust rising Republican star Vivek Ramaswamy? Now, I'm moving in over to this. We're doing the Biden, the Trump, the election rigging, all this other. We got these candidates that are going on. This guy pops up, and he popped up in my mind about all this, and with Trump having trouble is why. And then he all of a sudden steps up, and he starts to sound like he's supporting Trump. Sounded to me to be a bit of, the word didn't just come to me. It's certainly a leopard adjusting its spots. But can American voters trust rising Republican star Vivek Ramaswamy? The skinny guy with a funny name is proclaiming himself a Trump fan and a MAGA follower now. But that's a very recent about face. That's what caught me about this guy. There's just something not right about it, about him. There's not right about a lot of people. In this case, like Robert Kennedy Jr., at least he's a Democrat. This guy is a little different. This guy has a little bit of Obama, and that puts him in a different party, and then he starts using Obama's words. As many Americans are now familiarizing themselves with Vivek Ramaswamy, a smooth-talking Republican candidate who's quickly climbing in the polls, it might be wise to read the fine print on this novice. Here we go about doing the research. And let me say that it did come through, and I understand to what I found, and I could see Trump was asked about this guy becoming Trump's vice president, and he came back and said he's pretty smart, he's pretty good. And so that starts then Vivek really started to pour on the sound bites. So this guy's on my radar to be another one of those politicians that we can't trust. I don't know what y'all thinking about it. I'm looking at the future and who gets put in place to put the future they want against us. And all the talking that goes on that's not true. And all the errors that come on, who you're talking against and you're not against it. It's like what Robert Kennedy Jr. goes and says. He starts to talk sound bites that people want to hear. And as I'm looking at it, I was telling you about the water keepers. They attack production. And then you see in his own words, he's attacking miners and farmers. So we've got to look underneath the skin, under the hood. Ramaswamy began his performance by attempting to resolve the mystery of his identity when he told the assembly, quote, let me address a question that's on everybody's mind at home tonight. Who the heck is this skinny guy with a funny name, with a funny last name, and what the heck is he doing in the middle of this debate stage? During that Republican GOP debate, Chris Christie, one of the seven veteran politicians on stage, was not fooled as he immediately recalled the time when two-term Democratic President Barack Obama made his political debut, uttering nearly the very same line. Quote, the last person who stood up here saying, what's a skinny guy with an odd last name doing here, was Barack Obama, and I'm afraid you're dealing with the same type of amateur standing on the stage tonight, Christie said. We're all living in Trump's world, and there's no escape. We're all living, and this is a place we can't get away from. This guy, Trump, really is a presence. But as it turned out, Christie was right. In 2004, Obama was invited to deliver the keynote address at the Democratic National Convention in Boston, where he spoke about the hope of a skinny kid with a funny name who believes that America has a place for him, too. Since the speech, he is widely believed to have been Obama's political breakout moment. Many expressed bewilderment that Ramaswamy would plagiarize a line from a famous politician and a Democrat to boot. Many people would quickly remember. And I want to point out, they said, and a Democrat to boot, as if he's not a Democrat. When you go look at this guy in the background of what he does, you're going to find out he's kind of like Trump. He used to be a Democrat, now he's a Republican. And so we start getting the idea, the word that we use here when we have a Republican that's really looking more like a Democrat? You answer that here while I get to this other stuff. So who is the skinny guy with a funny sounding name? And what are his political beliefs? Vivek rhymes with cake. He says Ramaswamy, 38. I guess I should say Vivek. Did I get it right now? Is a second-generation immigrant from India who has become a multimillionaire in the pharmaceutical and financial sectors. He formally entered the U.S. presidential race in February by lamenting what he called the national identity crisis afflicting the nation due to woke insanity. He asserts the movement is promoted by a left-wing ideology that has a substitute faith, patriotism, and hard work with the new secular religions like climatism, gender ideology, and critical race studies. In addition to supporting many of the talking points found in Donald Trump's MAGA Make America Great platform, Ramaswamy swore his loyalty to the legally embattled 45th president when he gratuitously pronounced during the primaries, quote, let's just speak the truth, okay? President Trump, I believe, was the best president in the 21st century. It's a fact. We can read further on, yet compare that to what Ramaswamy had to say about Trump's response to the January 6th insurrection protest rebellion riot, take your pick, just days after the Capitol building was breached by hundreds of Orange Man supporters. Quote, what Trump did last week was wrong, downright abhorrent, plain and simple. So this is no much more than another politically pandering, soundbite-stumping Democrat in a Republican costume. Vivek? Rhino Swami sounds to me, right? Rhino. At least Kennedy soundbite stumps as a Democrat. And this guy has a whole lot more around him. We talked about the pharmaceutical thing and the financial. Remember what I talk about all the time and what they did with Covey Swindle and what the industry was there, and then where they're taking us in the future relative to your economic destruction. And I went and found how Vivek's Ramaswamy became a millionaire out of Forbes. And you read through this, and I was just reading a promotion by Forbes of this guy. When you start seeing he's not necessarily so clean as far as like in pharmaceuticals and I have nothing against the business. It's just the types of businesses and how he evades what goes on, avoids what's going on, how he tries to cover what he's done in the past. He has the techniques where he was in something we will get to the point here really quick, I hope, that BlackRock is involved in investing in his business, his pharmaceutical holding company, State Street, Vanguard. Once he gets them involved, he then gets out. Now he can justify that he's not involved, and then he attacks them. That's just a tactic. That's a technique. That's to gain favor. So Vivek Ramaswamy became a millionaire. He goes through it. It explains this article. Standing in the back of a New Hampshire restaurant, Vivek Ramaswamy, the fresh-faced Republican shaking up the 2024 presidential race, is making a case for the unifying of a bitterly divided nation. The secret, he insists, is as American as American pie and capitalism. And he's definitely into all that, but he's not straight up on it. He's doing the soundbite stumping thing, and he attacks, he embraces what you want to hear, but he's also, and he attacks the people that he's actually gotten money from or support in the back, on the back end of it. So just bring up another article, quite a long article here, quite a bit of an article here explaining all that. I don't have the time to go through it. I think you need to look more about this guy. And I guess to me, it's more look at the tentacles that are intruding already to these folks. Have another story about exclusive explaining this connection to the big financiers, the big banks, the giant ones, the global banks, the multinationals. Can Vivek Ramaswamy explain his ties to BlackRock, Vanguard, State Street, and World Economic Forum? I mean, I don't even know what that I need to speak more. You're just watching someone who comes out in a suit and looks, you know, presentable at all. He's intelligent. There's nothing I'm discrediting on his capability, that's for sure. He's very capable. He's too capable, actually. But he's also not necessarily that honest. He's not honest. And so he's got the ability to use the costume of the words that impresses people. He's got the intelligence to articulate it, and yet he doesn't have the substance that he actually believes in more than getting you get your vote, get your concurrence. In this case, if the suggestion was correct, he's making a comment and a move to maybe be moved into as a vice president for Trump. It sounds like they're very the same. Actually, well, they might be, because they're both an illusion, essentially. They're not actually speaking the truth about where they come from, where they're going. I see lots of people, Trump's passionate about America, this and that. I'm not so sure. He put Kobe Swindle. He killed people. And he had no authority to do that. And he didn't have the awareness. If he did it by accident, he made that mistake too. GOP presidential candidate Vivek Ramaswamy called BlackRock, State Street, and Vanguard arguably the most powerful cartel in human history. They're the largest shareholders in nearly every major public company, and even of each other, and they use your own money to foist ESG agendas onto corporate boards. These financiers bought his holding company. This guy's not true to what he goes on. The words don't sound the same to me in a different way as what I hear coming from RFK Jr. Even though I'd like to have, you know, somebody come through and be genuine, but they're not. And I keep looking. There's so much to read here. I don't have the time to go through it. These folks, it again, you're giving the false choice. After they gave him money for his holding company, he turns around and bites the hand that feeds him. No, this is a setup. All these big corporations and stuff know what he's doing. And that's the deception. I'm sitting here wondering what else I want to really talk about. All I see is deceptions. They're slick. They're really, really slick. And this guy, if you listen to him, he sounds really, really good. But it occurred to me he's got no substance underneath what he's actually talking about. And he'll give, again, I don't have the words for who does this. A con man, I guess is the name. A P.T. Barnum. Although that guy was kind of interesting. He would tell you, he would promote things that were not true, but he'd tell you he did it just to get you in so that then he could give you what he was going to give you, and he did. And that was an interesting truth covered by an advertisement, covered by a sensationalism. He played into people's emotions, into their interests. That's all these politicians do. I mean, the problem is these politicians, in this day and age, are destroying things, are destroying our ways of life, underneath the warm and fuzzy discussions of our rights and families and all that they talk about. And so the camouflage that goes on this is despicable, first of all, but it is part of the theater that goes on, and we continue to watch the costumes and we don't dig deeper. While this is all going on, our lives are going down because these folks don't do anything either. That's the other problem. And the ones that are doing the harm are the ones that continue to go down. They're doing their plan. We don't have one yet, I guess. And so notwithstanding the rhino character Vivek claims, he does say that he would pardon Assange. And so this is the other thing. You can hear, words are cheap, I guess, is one of the things. But if we give him a little bit of credit, he would pardon Assange. What's interesting, while he's saying that same week, Australian MPs to lobby U.S. to drop Julian Assange's prosecution or risk very dangerous precedent for Russia and China. And again, I'm seeing this as a big similarity of action. Cross-party delegation of Australian politicians or to travel to the United States to attempt to build a momentum against extraditing WikiLeaks founder. What does Blinken have to say about this? Blinken said that Assange was alleged to have risked very serious harm to our national security. Australian MPs are going to lobby against that. Blinken said that Assange is alleged to have risked very serious harm. You need to ask the question, but this is rhetorical. The risk of harm admits to no harm, doesn't it? Again, there's no evidence. He said it's alleged, and he says the risked very serious harm. They don't have any evidence that he caused any serious harm by that statement. So I hope these MPs go there and say, hey, well, you just agreed that he never really, he risked the harm. How about if you bring justice to this and release him? That's probably not going to happen. My problem here is that we hear Blinken admit they have nothing, no evidence. Like the House admits they have no evidence on Biden. Like the CDC had no evidence of the infectious agent. Like your local official had no evidence. And yet they get through and they do horrendous things to people. And no one seems to understand how to stop it, nor if there's just one or two, do they get together, or even bunches of people get together and force the issue, because we have the ability to force the issue. So underneath this camouflage, this cover of what's going on, as I've been pointing out forever, I guess, all the time I broadcast, that what we might be looking at is not necessarily what's going on. And we have for public consumption, they do things and say things for public consumption, and we kind of look right past a lot of it. And the thread that goes through a lot of these things are the control of societies for a future that those societies, if they were given full knowledge, would likely not choose for themselves. And this guy here that we has a social forum, the mostly richest man in the world, or the second now, or whatever, Musk. These camouflages keep going, and then they become different parties within that. And Musk is becoming very high level, and so he's becoming a target. It's very interesting then who embraces this. And who embraces this to protect or announce certain in favor in Musk is interesting to analyze as well, to find out, again, if we're looking at this as a plan that's being executed with all these different disparate people, that the plan is being executed, that we watch alliances form that are interesting. They actually can point that be evidence of themselves of the agenda moving. Another style of costume, or costume, I guess we could say here, a camouflage to further an agenda under everyone's noses would be to do what I'm going to read here in this one story. What I've been offering to expose the agenda under all these promotions, trying to get us to see through them. Musk, the latest adequate mind in America, Medvedev says, the businessman was smart to not allow Kiev to use his Starlink service to target Crimea, Russia's ex-president said, the ex-president Medvedev. Giving him, Musk, the honor of being the title of the last adequate mind in America. Over Musk's decision to not allow Ukraine use Starlink to use attack boat drones against Crimea. I would have you read this story and then think about, is there more to this support that Russia is supporting Musk? Understanding what I've been telling you, Russia's doing with the BRICS and the globalism that they're bringing in, and Musk, who wants to make the everything app in Twitter the central economic hub and advertising hub and digital hub, is this support actually moving the promotion? Saying Musk is the last adequate mind impliedly supports all the other works by Musk as a singularly proper what he's doing, such as the transhuman agenda, the token citizenship through X, also promoted by Russia through their own and different avenues, such as BRICS, and its domestic policies, such as the domestic digital ruble. This is an interesting support. If Musk is acknowledged, just in suggestion, to be the last adequate mind against the insanity of the Biden administration and the Ukrainian objections, they're giving support to Musk, and Musk is getting a lot of press. They're giving a lot of support to Musk and his ideas. That when you look at the underpinnings of what he's doing, it's not so good. I'm not talking about the cool stuff like the rockets that land on their tails like they did in the 40s, right? No, I'm talking about what he ends up bringing in. And this has brought up a whole problem. He's under an attack. At one level, he needs to defend himself. I want him to defend himself. On another level, he's getting support in places that bring on the future agenda by promotion today. And I think we need to pay attention to how this goes and works. So on the other hand, first he's getting attacked. He gets supported by Russia. On the other hand, as I stated last week, relative to the platforms being compelled by mere bureaucrat opinion, unsupported by no judicial judgment in confirmation of the fact of an offensive activity, Musk is compelled to deny upon a mere allegation the attack that's coming against him in multiple areas. In other words, he's not free of an unwarranted bureaucratic insult, as I was talking like the EU last week, that somehow maintains and enjoys a presumption of authority without due process. Just like the Covey swindler. This is the globalism power. It really doesn't exist, but people give it power. But he's not free to disregard these things in an attack that comes at him from different places, in this case the EU, when they're trying to silence him, and there's no due process. It's a prejudicial condition. There's no evidence either. They act in a place where there's no evidence needed. as well to show you the adjunct policy in process. This sounds no different as I've been, you know, as we go through the local health official in American COVID swindle, the presumption of authority without due process, prejudicially, and consistent with the model the Zionistas are screaming. If you see anti-Semitism, racism, the pride, all this other nonsense, giving them the presumption of authority without a hearing, without trial, without a discussion. The response here from Musk is in the attack of the EU saying that he is a pro-Kremlin. Now, he's not free to not answer that. He has to respond. His response is, we don't see pro-Russian propaganda. The problem is he has to answer to this affront by some entity that believes it has authority. Just like we all did with this COVID swindle, but we didn't test it. A European Commission report claimed last week that pro-Kremlin narratives were rampant on the platform, and his response has to be, we don't see pro-Russia. He's not free to disregard that, because there is no evidence that Moscow has been misusing X, formerly Twitter, to spread its propaganda online. Billionaire Elon Musk has said it followed the publication of the EU report last week, which alleged that Russia was conducting disinformation campaigns on social media. But where is all this pro-Russian propaganda? We don't see it, the Entrepreneur posted on Thursday in reply to independent journalist Len Greenwald. He's another guy. Remember, he was paid to get on The Intercept and Snowden's paperwork and all that stuff. Never got disseminated. All these people are all together, all running this agenda, this promotion that goes on, the strife that looks like it's going on, actually produces and proves every step that they need to move forward. So again, Musk needs to be protected, but what's the protection he needs actually becomes the thing that they end up imposing against us in the future. Musk being where he's at, and you see the comprehensive nature of his fingers are in lots of things anymore. Musk is threatened with a probe for blocking Ukrainian attack. So he's got the EU on him, and then he's got now this threat from the Americans, an American senator, no less, I think that she is. Foreign policy should be conducted by the government and not by one billionaire, Elizabeth Warren says. Foreign policy should be conducted by government and not by one billionaire. And where she gets this to say it, I don't know, but this is the way, like no different than the governor saying, I got a public health matter that I'm going to take your guns away. They just fabricate these issues. They don't even research what's going on. And they come out and they try to make a name for themselves. This, again, as I said about the governor in New Mexico, apparently it looks more to me that it's covering their dereliction of duty. When Warren is attacking Musk over blocking Ukraine, on the surface, what is her right to say that? There would need to be presidential orders about that, and that's what starts to come out. But she makes a name for herself, and people start to believe her. U.S. Senator Elizabeth Warren has called on Congress to investigate Elon Musk over his refusal to enable a Ukraine drone attack on the Russian naval fleet in Crimea. Blinken refused to condemn Musk, but several members of Congress have spoken out against the billionaire. Musk cannot have the last word when it comes to national security, Senate Armed Services Committee Chairman Jack Reed told reporters on Monday. I want just to understand something. Does she not know she's advocating the theft of private property, let alone it being uncompensated and without due process, and in the absence of a declaration of war for its confiscation? That Musk is said by a Ukrainian official to be called committing evil? If we want to have laws and rules, Musk has a property. It's his business. It's his all of that equipment, everything. And Warren is saying, we have the right to investigate you because you didn't give it to us. You interfered with an attack. When in fact, when you go look at the facts of it all, this whole thing is, again, it's a setup. They're attacking Musk incorrectly. I don't know where that goes, but it shows that the politicians are, they need to be gone. They just need to be gone. It turns out the Crimea was not, could not get any coverage because to do so would have violated the sanctions. So Elizabeth Warren's accusations are completely off the mark. That's probably why Blinken refused to condemn Musk. Starlink could not have been hooked up for this condition. It would have been a violation by Elon Musk on those sanctions. So it seems to me that Senator Elizabeth Warren and Senator Chairman Jack Reed must resign because they aren't fit for duty. They don't know the constitutional requirements for property, how to take it, how to make the declaration. They don't want to make declarations of war. They declare someone who wants to doesn't want to engage in war to be evil, which means they're warmongers. And no one steps up and stops it. Musk has got his hands full here, I just got to say. This is a pretty serious. For as much as I would denounce Musk and a lot of things in the future that they want that they're pulling off, this is completely improper. This attack on him is like a attack on anybody who has property. And so given Musk didn't withhold anything and appears to have averted an escalation of war, why would Ukraine representative say he was committing evil? Unless what they want to do is intend to be evil. And I think that's pretty fair. I don't think that they aren't evil. I think that these people are. These are the death cult. I have a link somewhere here coming. But it wasn't even... Elizabeth Warren wasn't even good with the fact that Elon Musk gave control to Starlink to Pentagon. He needed to get rid of that liability. And remember, he was paid $145 million, I think, and it's come back to an autobiographer that we're going to see here, that he got paid for some of the equipment. So he offloaded his private property. They paid him for it. And he gave them some. Not Elizabeth Warren's way. Oh, we're going to have Congressman investigate him for being some kind of a sinister character. No, she needs to be gone. All those folks, those people that don't believe but go follow the law, the Constitution they took an oath to, need to go away. And some people need to come up and get some their own media together to start telling people that people want to do about the law and what the Constitution, they're going to have to start asserting it again because it's not going to happen by itself. I'm suggesting, even though I don't think that Musk means us well relative to the digital future, he also deserves not to be attacked the way Elizabeth Warren was, or at all, actually. And the Pentagon made a deal that she should have been aware of. And the lack of them both not being aware in the Armed Services Committee should show us we got some Looney Tunes in these committees. And it may not look too good for us into the future as a nation, as this world begins to change and shift and adjust to the oppression that the United States puts on, as evidenced against Musk. For as much as I wouldn't want to see the future he wants relative to digital world. Hope something I said exposes a little bit more of the world to you that you can use it, give you some tools to defend yourself in case you get aggressed against or trespassed. I'll be with you next week. Tech Tips for Nature Rolling.
Another lesson. I hope with today's information you can take it to those that misbehave. From behind the woodshed, leaving his mark on the beast, this is Hal Anthony. Till next time, journey with purpose.
Well, that's what... Lucio's life.
Son, let's just open a whole case of Warpath.